And welcome back, Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And I want to thank people again, our listeners who have supported the station, CIUT, and remind you that you can still donate throughout the month of December. We have, another lap to go to make it $100,000. And anyone who is donating, if they donate $89.50 or more, we urge you to make it more, will be part of the draw for the round trip to Iceland. I think I made it a round trip by saying trip, but anyhow, round trip to Iceland. And of course, it's a great station, and people, I'm sure, delighted to know that they can continue to donate through December to help us reach $100,000. Again, it's the Taylor Report, and we have some urgent matters to talk about, to at least be aware of. I go, I guess, to the Olympics, because Canadian athletes, after all, Canada is one of the is in the northern sphere, is regarded one of the strongholds of winter sports, and we have many great skiers and ski jumpers and ice skaters and all sorts of teams that participate in competition. And of course, the Olympic Games are coming up in Beijing, scheduled for February. And it is actually, let's face it, it is one of the healthier things that happens, in that there is an International Olympic Committee, and it brings together those sovereign countries that want to participate can. We've even talked, for example, in Canadian film and elsewhere, they've made a point of reminding us that Jamaica has contributed a bobsled team, I think, more than once. But it is it's a great human enterprise, reminding the world's people that we all love sport and that we admire excellence in sport. And we admire sportsmanship. And it is actually to settle down and just have competition in sport, frankly, is a way to contribute to peace. And I say this little line because we have a very aggravated and right-wing, in my opinion, and nationalistic, when I say nationalistic, it's U.S. primarily, that sees the Olympics as a political pawn, a tool to be used for their purposes. The most egregious modern history, in my opinion, was the destructive role the United States played when, under Jimmy Carter, President of the United States, they decided they would boycott the Olympics. And I'm going to have to say, I think it was 1980, because they said that the Russian troops were in Afghanistan. That should bring a belly laugh from anybody hearing it, because subsequent to that occasion, after the Soviets had gone, Russians, the United States went into Afghanistan, and on a lie, as always, that I forget which one it was on that occasion, they concocted a story. Basically, they blackmailed the government of Afghanistan, saying that if it didn't do everything they ordered in a matter of hours, that they were going to attack. And then they attacked. Going back to the Olympics, Jimmy Carter convinced and persuaded and twisted arms to get people to destroy the 1980. Well, I don't think they destroyed, but they badly undermined the Olympics. And that was what they called the period of the Cold War. I don't like the expression, frankly. I think it's a little lazy to use it, but let us be lazy for a moment. It was using anything, in this case, the Olympics, to try to harm what the United States defined as a rival power. And we're coming back to that again. And we have in Canada politicians, row upon row, party upon party, all unanimous that they have to do something to harm the Olympics. And in this case, they would like to, they wanted a boycott. Now they're not so sure they can get that. I opened by saying Canadian athletes want to go, as they should. They deserve to be seen in the world arena doing what they do. And after all, they've given their lives to it. And it is something that we should all be proud of. To use them as pawns is a particularly cynical and dirty thing to do. And I think it's a damn shame that the NDP, the New Democratic Party, the Green Party, the Liberal Party, the Conservative Party, and yes, the Bloc Québécois, are trying to think of reasons to see if they can harm the games. The latest trick is to say, okay, well, we can't stop them. You remember the leader of the Green Party. She has now departed the scene, having served up to the last minute of her contract and collected all funds. She had called for the games to be removed from China. That didn't fly, but that was the general overall goal. But now they have a new game, and it's called, I love this, I think we can find irony here. They want a diplomatic boycott, which to me is a rather strange language, because it's not very diplomatic to boycott. It's quite the contrary. And the whole idea is that, and our brave Canadians, leaders, wonderful people all, they all say that, of course, we're not going to do this by ourselves. I want to translate that. We're not going to do it by ourselves. We're going to wait, translation. We're going to wait for Biden to make up his mind. Then we will do what Biden says we're going to do. And then we'll say, that was our idea. We were all for it, but we didn't want to do that by ourselves, because that involves stuff like courage, independence, could even get them in problems with the U.S., because if the U.S. is a parade marshal, you don't run out in front of the parade marshal and drop your baton. So this is what is going on. It's ugly, and it is all based on the finding things against the People's Republic of China. The one that listeners will know that we taken up as most irritating is because it's a new rock to throw at China, is that a Chinese Olympian and world respected tennis star, Peng Shui, found herself in the news. I don't think she wanted to, but anyway, that has happened. And she is now I think I did on last week's program, my apologies. The Women's Tennis Association, which is led by an American CEO, a businessman named Steve Simon, declared that Peng Shui, who lives in Beijing, as far as I know, was missing. And they started a game of, where is she? It's a very manipulated story, by the way, because, of course, if you tell members of the WTA, we don't know where she is and we're very concerned. Well, they're humans, they become concerned. They trusted their leaders. And then being concerned, they all signed a statement saying that went everywhere, where's Peng Shui? They weren't familiar with the facts. They were the people who signed these things were simply wanted. They heard she's missing, so they wanted to know where she was. That's manipulation one or two. One that calls me. They said that. Well, she was seen in China. She was in a market somewhere, and she was recognized, and pictures were taken. And so they said, "Well, that's manipulation." And they said, "We really want to see her. We want her to talk to us." And the leader of the WTA said that she had to speak to him personally. So I want to know where he gets off and where does the American media get off thinking that Peng Shui has to talk to anybody. They've turned this into the idea that Peng Shui somehow is a loyal employee or follower of the CEO of an American-based tennis business. And somehow, if he says she has to talk and I've got to see her, everything's supposed to stop until that happens. And frankly, that's why we're having this problem with the Olympics and et cetera, is that U.S. big shots play a role way outside their who they are. If they say things, it's supposed to be, the world's supposed to come to a stop. Apparently, I mean, I get the impression that unless she's going to be on Oprah denouncing the government of China, then she probably doesn't exist. I mean, that was the way they wanted to go with this story. Now, they overlook something, and we spoke about it on the show last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. But I want to read this again, because I haven't seen anybody actually handle this. When they started this story of Peng Shui, and remember, the backdrop is they began to beat the drum. Well, if we don't get satisfaction here, if China doesn't do every last thing we want, WTA is going to pull its business out of China, which I hope they do. I don't care what they do. China is a self-respecting country, and I'm sure they would be happy to show them the door. But they really, the big target was all the sports people and all the editorial people says, you see, you shouldn't be going to the Winter Olympics because of Peng Shui. All right, here's what Peng Shui herself sent a message. She says, "Hello, everyone. This is Peng Shui. Regarding the recent news released on the official website of the WTA, the content has not been confirmed or verified by myself, and it was released without my consent. The news in that release, including the allegation of sexual assault, is not true. I'm not missing, nor am I unsafe. I've just been resting at home, and everything is fine. Thank you again for caring about me. If the WTA publishes any more news about me, please verify with me and release it with my consent. As a professional tennis player, I thank you all for your companionship and consideration. I hope to promote Chinese tennis with you all if I have the chance in the future. I hope Chinese tennis will become better and better. Once again, thank you for your consideration." I read that, and I think everybody should see it. I hope we posted it on the Taylor Report Facebook. We're going to do it for sure if it hasn't been done. Because I noticed that all the American commentators and British and others began to beat their wings and the feathers flew and they all made noises, but they did not answer what she says here. She says, "The content has not been confirmed or verified by myself, released without my consent. If the WBA publishes any more news about me, please verify it with me and release it with my consent. That's very serious stuff. I don't know if WTA has got any, if among their players and all that, if they're talking to each other. But actually, if the WTA has a problem, did they have her consent? Did they confirm or verify with Peng Shuai? No, they didn't. And you see, the problem they get into, and I've noticed that this is really troubling to them all, is that actually the only argument they can make now is the one they really wanted to start with in the beginning. They don't like the Chinese government. They don't trust anybody who's Chinese. They don't believe her. They believe each other when they lie about her. That's why we have a problem with the Olympics. The poison mind in the West towards China, it's reached epic proportions, in my opinion. The wildest things get said. And she was referred to by all the known sports writers, as far as I know, Canada, United States. And they treated this message with total disrespect, total disregard. It can't be true. She couldn't have done that. It, as one of them said, it looked like it was written by a machine. I'm reading it. I've worked for many years as an investigator and was associated with lawyers and read a lot of documents. Seems to me it's a well-stated case. Somebody says, we want to know who she was talking to. I don't know. Could we talk to each of the editors and sports writers and publishers when they had their little meetings about how to treat this story? I'd like to know about those conversations. The idea that you get to go into her private territory, space, because you want to score a point against the People's Republic and you want to destroy the Olympics. Why? Because you do not want to see a political success. If the games are a success, that's a problem for Washington, because Washington defines its relationship. Washington defines its relationship with other countries in an adversarial way. They always have to be winning. They always have to be number one, and nobody else gets to be number one because they're number one. It's totally adversarial, antagonistic. By the way, totally in violation. I don't know why they go to the Olympics. Totally in violation of the Olympic spirit. So who have they picked up, incidentally, for their next target? Well, the International Olympic Committee. Well, why? Because the International Olympic Committee they saw the problem developing, and she is a former Olympian, and so they have some connection to her. They saw a way to be of help. They're the ones. She obviously did. I'm guessing she didn't want to talk to Mr. Simon in New York about what he had done, because that was going to be a mess, because clearly she, like anybody else, could see what a game was being played to harm her country and to drag her personally and to use her basically like a hostage to their politics. They still have her as a hostage because they're saying that they don't believe her. Instead, they're going ahead with all kinds of wild talk. By the way, CNN published in connection with this. I want to show you how bad it gets, how rotten. Nation Magazine, where is Peng Shuai? And what is the IOC going to do about her, about it? And this is written by Dave Zirin, and who writes for the liberal publication, very imperialistic liberal publication, which is why he's comfortable here. With the 2022 Beijing Olympics looming, the IOC's silence in the case of a missing tennis star who accused a Chinese official of sexual assault speaks volumes. Dave, go and read her a message and answer it for us and quickly as you can, will you? But So this was published November 20. Well, of course, IOC had an interview, conversation with Peng Shui. But that only made the wolves more angry, because they say, oh, now look at this. The IOC is siding with China. Actually, what they said was, you know, it's a sovereign country. We reached out to her and said, would you like to talk to us because we're concerned? She said, yes. And then she spoke to them. So can you imagine Human Rights Watch, Human Rights Watch attacked the IOC for siding with China? They didn't side with China, but they said they sided with themselves, because they could see that the US, somebody was trying to use this dispute, which is in some sense not even a dispute. It is a sort of an American style, garish, lurid rumor story, in which if as I understand, if you read the text, the there's a factual claim that there's no evidence. By the way, I'm not crediting it because I don't know. I do know what Peng Shui wrote. I do know I saw her. And I know that Dave Zirin is terribly upset, because he wants to see if he can get a boycott going, because at the end of the day, Dave Zirin is an imperialist. He thinks we should lecture China, and he would like to be the number one guy doing it. But this points up that Canada now wants a diplomatic, they call it a diplomatic boycott. Again, that's just not possible. Diplomacy is there to try to solve differences between people who have differences. And it doesn't, and you start with boycott, you're not being a diplomat. They claim this would embarrass China. That was written by Rosie DiMano in The Star and others, certainly the NDP, Liberal Party, Conservative Party, Green Party, Bloc Québécois. They think they'll embarrass China. Well, it won't. It will humiliate Canada, because most of the athletes of the world who want to participate in these, in the Winter Olympics, to be seen and to compete and hopefully to win and to have medals and to stand on the platform and to get the attention and respect they deserve, they really don't need to be upstaged by a bunch of tin horn diplomats who say, well, we're not going, and so turn your cameras to us because we're at home or we're staying at our hotels. That's really not much of a winter event, and is a disgrace. It's a damn disgrace that this is going on. To show the rotten journalism, there's another piece that deserves a lot of attention. CNN had the gall to write a headline, if I can find it, through the magic of whatever this is called. Ah, here's the headline, November 20. This is when they thought they really had this thing wound up nice and loud. Peng Shui, colon. UN calls for proof of Chinese tennis star's whereabouts. WTA chairman willing to pull out of China. He's, by the way, a culture hero. He should be elected governor of an American state, because he's a rough and tough guy on behalf of nothing. UN calls for proof of Chinese tennis star's whereabouts. That's an old con. The United Nations, anybody familiar with its functioning knows that the United Nations didn't call for anything. What they're referring to is a British woman who used to work at the BBC, who is an assistant to one of the executive members of the Human Rights Office of the United Nations. And she didn't say it, by the way, voluntarily, or, you know, she didn't come in with her notes and said, I want to talk about this. A British reporter, I invite you to do the homework I did. A British reporter asked, not once, but twice, to get her to say something. What she said was what is called a boilerplate. Well, we hope she's safe. We'd like to see assurances. blah, blah. This is a phenomenon we're all familiar with around the world. But the British reporter and the CNN got what they wanted. The ability to say, the UN said. When was the last time, by the way, when was the last time any of you saw the UN? It's not a person. It's an institution. And if that institution is going to say anything, one assumes it would be from the Secretary General. That's the highest ranking elected office chosen by the General Assembly. This is a committee, and many states have complained about this, is that there are personnel on these committees in the back offices and down the hallway, people who have a little title connected to the UN. You can get often them to say something damaging to your opponent and then say, the UN says. I mean, I assume that CNN assumes that they have really reached, hit the bottom in terms of whoever reads whatever they have to say. And so they can just say, and they're right, by the way. Look at this. We have every party in Canada has already signed on. They're ready. That's boycott. That's tell our diplomats, don't go. And we're going to embarrass China, which is to say, humiliate ourselves in front of the world. And I don't know if they're going to follow through with it. But we ought to worry, because this kind of hostility and energy that the U.S. largely is putting into this tells us that something really bad could happen, really bad. And so it needs to be pointed out that let's put it this way. Don't we have anybody who will stand up in Parliament and say, what is the government doing to decrease tension in the Taiwan Straits? What is the government doing that might contribute to a reasonable discussion of issues between parties? And why is the government claiming to know things about a region of China where we don't have any very much traffic back and forth and no real information to speak of? And no reason, by the way, speaking of Peng She and respecting people, no reason to doubt the accuracy of what we're told by the Chinese authorities. See, we've passed the Rubicon there because everybody assumes that the China says something that can't be true. And which is what puts you into a situation where you can have a war because of such recklessness. They mention there's a party into this, the Uyghur Congress. And I want to tell you a proverb. Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. The reigning personality, not the current leader, but the reigning personality of the world of the World Uyghur Congress, Rabia Kadir. Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. In 2012, Rabia Kadir visited the Shinto shrine in Tokyo, which is holds the remains of Tojo and 1,000 war criminals who caused the death of millions of Chinese and Americans and Canadians, et cetera. That shrine is not visited by wholesome people. Those who oppose fascism don't visit that shrine. She visited it. And I would say to anybody who, any self-respecting Canadian who believes that the World War II and the crushing of fascism and Nazism was a worthy cause, here's your friend, Rabia Kadir. She went there to show respect for Tojo and the 1,000 war criminals that are there. Now, I assume there's some fancy reason, but I don't care what the fancy reason is. No self-respecting country or diplomat goes there, but she did. So if you're falling in with the World Uyghur Congress, you're a bunch of suckers. And I warn you, you could get hurt. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We'll see you next week.